Hi, I'm Nicole, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is December 4th, 2016. Sorry, I'm pretty nervous. I have a sponsor, and I'm able to sponsor others, but I haven't yet. So what happened, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. My childhood was pretty normal. I had a mom and a dad together my entire life. Normal childhood, my mom stayed home, my dad worked, so nothing abnormal there. The first time I had a drink, I was 14. My dad always drank, my mom, she didn't really drink much. It was Thanksgiving, I was 14, I was a freshman, and my parents, were having Thanksgiving at the house, and for some reason, they were like, oh, let's let the kids drink some wine. Then I drank wine. I didn't really eat much dinner because I didn't like Thanksgiving dinner. And all of a sudden I got drunk. And then I'm hiding in the corner in the kitchen, in the bathroom, and like in the kitchen, pouring more wine, 14 years old. So like I drink alcoholically since the first time I drank. Then later on that night, we decided to go into the hot tub in our bra and panties. Then I decided to walk down the street in Virginia in the freezing cold Thanksgiving in my bra and panties. I don't know what's wrong with me. And then, when I was in high school, I drank, and I didn't drink all the time, but whenever I was with people, I drank. Drugs aren't really part of my story. I smoked pot, I dabbled in other drugs, but I really am an alcoholic through and through. Didn't really like anything else. Then I graduated high school. I was always really good in school. Graduated high school, went to college on a scholarship. So when I went to college, I majored in biology and really just, I drank here and there, but I drank normally, like a normal person, because I was more focused on my studying. And so my senior year of college, my mom got sick. And so then that's when I think I started drinking a little bit more. Then I graduated college and she was still alive. And then I became a teacher. And then, the teaching culture, like when you're a teacher, teachers drink, so like that was the first time I like really went to happy hours and really drank a lot. And I remember the first time I went to like after happy hour on a Friday after teacher planning, I was up since like 5 o'clock in the morning because I was working so hard to get my classroom all ready. And then I went out with the people and I drank. And then when I drove home that night, I got pulled over for a DUI. I didn't get a DUI. And I'm just like talking to the police. I was like, I'm just so tired. I haven't slept in like days, and just like pleaded with them. And they were just like, okay, get someone to drive you home and you'll be fine. And so I did. And I didn't think anything of it and went on with my life. Then my mom passed away, and I was wrecked. And that's when I really started drinking a lot, just numb the pain. I remember when she passed away, the ambulance came and like the grief counselor was there and like, well, the daughter is hysterical. We need someone in here now. And I was just like, I'm fine, I'm fine. That's what I kept on telling myself, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then I just drank and numbed the pain. And then I continued working in the United States at school for 2 years, and I taught, and I drank heavily. Go out, I probably drank on the weekends, every night. I still go to school. Sometimes I go to school probably hungover a lot of the time. Then I decided that I wanted to live abroad, so I applied to schools overseas and got a job, and I was planning to move to Chile. And at that point, I started drinking a lot. Then I started blacking out. That was the first time I ever really blacked out, because I was never a blackout drinker. And there was not very many times that I blacked out, but I remember one time I was drinking at my house alone. And I was supposed to meet this guy, and he was supposed to come over to my house, and it was really hard to get to my house. And I just like passed out and didn't hear my phone ring. And like still to this day, I feel bad for that guy that I met at the bar that couldn't find my house because I passed out. Then I moved to South America, and when I moved to South America, just to get away. At that point, I was just running away from my life. When I first got there, I was really looking forward to having a new life. But when I got there, just like people were mean. I worked at an English-speaking school, and none of the Americans were very nice to me and not very welcoming. So I didn't have any friends. I'm in this country where I don't really speak the language. I don't know anybody. And all my colleagues aren't very nice to me. So I just would sit at home and drink vodka that I got from like the little Roy Roy's was the name of the convenience store down the road. And it was funny because like all of the people that worked in this little convenience shop and like in the plaza, they all knew me because I was like the white American in the plaza that worked at the school up the road. And like one of the guys was like, "You like to drink?" And I was like, "No, it's for parties." I would just like drink myself every night. And then I started drinking at work. That was the first time I drank at work. I never drank at work before. The headmistress of the school turned to me and she said, "Would you like to have a roommate?" Because they had put me up in an apartment. And I was like, "Yes." And when I got the roommate, we had a lot of fun. And then I had a friend. So then I drank less. I didn't drink so much by myself. I drank a lot socially, and I'd only drink a little bit by myself. I'd hide it just a little bit. But still the manipulation, the lies, the drinking, still all intertwined. And then I remember my roommate like bringing it up one time, and then she was like, "Sometimes some of the other teachers, they talk about how you're drinking at work." And I was like, I never drink at work. Like, that never happens. That's from the night before. You know. And I really thought that these people would be buying it. And then I left there. I just got tired of it, so I came home. And when I came home, my teaching certificate had expired here, so I didn't have a job here. So I just kind of floated around doing like odd jobs. I like sold penis pumps to like Medicare on the phone. And I like try to call up some old people and be like, "Do you have a problem with erectile dysfunction?" It was very awkward. I didn't stay at that job for very long. I tutored a little. I finally got a job as a chemist, and I liked that job. But still, I would drink on that job. I would, at lunchtime, I would go to, like, a Mexican restaurant and order a couple of margaritas and then go back to work because I was bored, you know, as you do when you drink. You drink because you're bored, you know, drink because of something. Then my sister is here in Tampa. I'm down in South Florida, and she's begging me to come up, and here I am, like, dating probably a zillion different guys at once, all during this whole history of me. And then I decide that I would be moving to Tampa. And when I moved to Tampa, like, I had found a job as a swim teacher to little kids, which was convenient because I could stay at home all day and drink, you know, at a friend's house because I was living with this guy that my sister worked with. And I'd drink all day and then go and teach some little kids how to swim. And then finally I got my teaching certificate back and then started teaching again. And when I started teaching, then I didn't drink during work then. But still would drink alcoholically. I would hide it a lot. I would move in with my sister and I would have like stashes of bottles in my room. And if she had bottles in the freezer and I was out of my bottles, then I would like take from hers and then I would just refill her bottles. You know, like a whole bunch of like manipulation in my story. And she knew it. Like she knew, she would notice that the bottles were lower. Then I met my husband, and we dated long distance for a year. And still drinking. At one point, we had made a bet that we would stop drinking for a month, and I was like, yeah, I won't drink. And then I didn't drink socially, but I drank a whole bunch by myself, you know. I would go out, and like my sister and I were going to dinner one day, and she was like, you know, Nicole, have you been drinking? I was like, no, James and I are not drinking. What are you talking about? then James and I got together, and then we've been together ever since. He moved down. We got married. Then I got pregnant, and when I got pregnant, I didn't drink. And then after I got pregnant, there was probably about 5 months in between my two babies that I got pregnant again. So I didn't drink that much during the 3 years of my pregnancies. And then after my daughter, and after I finished breastfeeding her, that's when I started drinking more than I've ever drank in my entire life. And I started really hiding it, and my manipulation got even worse. I started, I had like a Sam's Club credit card that I would buy my vodka from, and I'd hide it and put it in jars in the freezer, you know, like. And I was drinking, like, probably, I would go 5 or 6 days a week. There'd be one day where I'd be like, I'm not gonna drink today. And I would make it one day, but then the next day I'd be like, oh, I gotta drink. You know, I don't know why I like to drink so much. It wasn't like when I think back about being in, like, drunk, like I don't really remember a good feeling about it. Then one day I was picking my kids up from school, my son from school. I had my daughter with me, and she was, you know, being whiny. And so I had went to Sam's Club to get my bottle of vodka, and she was being whiny, so I decided to open it up and, you know, take a quick shot in the parking lot of my son's school, thinking no one saw me. And then I went and got him, and then when I was driving home, I was at a stoplight, and then I see red lights, and I pull over to the side, and they were like, have you been drinking? And I was like, no. What are you talking about? And then they pull me out to do a sobriety test with both kids in the car. And then they say, okay, well, we think that you have been drinking, but we're just going to give you a ticket for not having your license, but you're going to need to have someone come pick you up. And at that point, I was like, I'm not calling my husband, because they're like, you need to call your husband. I was like, there's no fucking way I'm calling my husband. There's no fucking way I'm calling my sister. There's no fucking way I'm calling anybody that I know to come pick me up and tell them that I am getting pulled over for a DUI. So I called an Uber. And so I got a ride home, and then I went back and got my car a little while later. And then that was on a Friday. And then that Monday, so I drank that entire weekend because I had to say goodbye to alcohol, because I knew shit was going to hit the fan on Monday, because I had to tell my husband. And so I told him Monday, and then they're like, okay, you're going to go to Turning Point. You're going to get help. And I went to Turning Point. I did outpatient there. And started working the steps. I got a lot of power out of the steps, especially I think steps 4 through 7. I feel like they really cleansed me and made me realize all of my character flaws and all my character defects. And I can live life now happier, healthier, and just overall, like, I am blessed to be alive, to have my children alive, I'm happier now than I ever have been my entire life. Even when I was, you know, sober in my mind when I was a kid, you know. But I'm happier now, so thank you.